This morning we're going to look at the whole idea of failure, but try and gain a different perspective on it. As I said before, Peter is one of the disciples who's noted for failing again and again. And there seems to be a number of stories in the Gospels that talk about his shortcomings and where he needs to be corrected again and again. But there's also an amazing story about Peter, about his redemption as well. As we move into Acts, we see a man transformed by the power of the gospel, which I think gives hope to all of us failures who have ever felt like a failure in any way, who have ever thought that they're just not good enough, or if you've ever put your foot in the mouth or said the wrong thing at the wrong time. There's hope for all of us that God can restore us. So the stories I want to look at this morning is the first of all, the one that Jenny read about walking on water, and then the betrayal of Jesus, which is a huge event as we lead up to Easter, as we lead up to the cross. But then after the cross, briefly, I want to look at the idea that a leader is born. Out of that failure, a leader is born. A leader transformed. The first thing that we need to note is that Jesus always saw potential in Peter. He always saw potential in Peter. I know as a young Christian in Charters Towers in far north, or North Queensland, I remember preaching at our little Baptist, it was a little Baptist church actually, we're combined with Baptist and Church of Christ up there. And there was one dear lady in the congregation, she was a little bit older, and she was renowned for her bluntness and truth-telling, at least from her perspective anyhow. And she came up to me after one of my very first sermons and she said, "Chris, thank you for your message today. It was really good." And my chest swelled and I felt so good about myself because someone had acknowledged what I'd given in that sermon. And she said, "Chris, you're going to be a really good preacher." And my chest swelled and my head swelled just that little bit more. I'm thinking, mega church. Thousands of people, world tours, book signings. And this dear little old lady, she was about this high. She said, "You're not good yet, though. But you will be." And she brought me back to earth. And she was right. I mean, she was encouraging and there was a lot more experience and life that had to be in my story before I could communicate in a really meaningful way, I believe. Even though what I did was the best I could do at that time. But that, yeah, I've always treasured that comment from that lady. "You're not good yet." And I think that's what we see in Jesus and Peter's relationship. We see that very early on in the story, Peter is given a new name because Jesus sees the potential in this guy. He wasn't there yet. And we really don't see him totally transformed to after the cross, do we? And Pentecost. But we see the makings of the man. And Jesus saw the heart of the man. And he said, "I can use this guy." The story of Jesus and Peter walking on the water, or at least trying to walk on the water, as Jenny mentioned, came after a few traumatic events or a very busy time in the life of the disciples. Jesus had just heard or found out about his cousin John the Baptist's death. Remember, Herod, didn't like some of the things that John told him and beheaded him. And we can see that there's a natural response from Jesus about this in that he needs some space. But then we see that the crowds came and that's where the feeding, one of the feedings. So we see even in the midst of Jesus' own pain, he's still ministering to others. But then he sends the disciples across in the boat. And this is where we see the storm blowing up and Peter stepping out in faith. Have you ever stepped out for something new and launched out and then wondered, what am I doing? Just what did I get myself into here? I remember when we first moved to Toowoomba, I was working, the idea was that I would work on a building site or with a builder friend of mine who was going to encourage the discipleship of his apprentices and the builders on the work site. So here I am, middle-aged, I'm past middle-aged now, I guess, but in that middle-aged phase of life, about 40, been pastoring for a number of years, I was soft, I wasn't used to hard work, all of a sudden, but I did have a couple of degrees and so on, and you know, so to the builders, I looked highly educated, nothing against builders at all or tradespersons, but I looked quite educated. They thought I was the professor and I had glasses and, you know, and I looked like a school teacher. That's what people told me generally, you know, like, and I didn't look like a builder's labourer, but here I am working with these guys. And then I didn't get paid for a number of weeks, because things started struggling in the business and so on. And I just wondered, what have I done here? I was all excited about the vision and the mission and about discipleship and about what was going to happen and how we could get alongside these guys. I got the big picture, but sometimes the details really hammer us, don't they, in the everyday. And you know, if you're struggling to pay the bills because you're not getting paid for the work you're doing, then life gets difficult. And I wondered what I'd drag my family into. We've done things like that ourselves, haven't we? Where we've launched out and said, this is a faith step. And then as we get out, as we step out from the boat, we wonder, what did we get ourselves into? And some of us are more impetuous than others, aren't we? I sometimes just wish I could be more considered and thoughtful and less impetuous, but it's who I am. And that's why I think at times I identify with Peter and his impetuousness. He's the one that got out of the boat, but he's also the one that got in trouble and questioned just what he should have done. We see in this storm two things happening inside or with Peter. First of all, he's facing the external storm. So he's looking around and saying, my circumstances here aren't very pleasant at all. My circumstances are difficult. There's waves and, and this walking on water is a tough gig. It's not the easiest thing to do. It hasn't been done that often. And we see him looking at his external circumstances and saying, this is difficult. And then we see his internal response. And some of the versions tell us that he panicked. He panicked. And I guess we can hear and feel that anxiousness. We've all had that situation where our external circumstances can cause a rising internal anxiety. And then we see what can happen as a result of a crisis. During the week I was talking to a pastor who a couple of years ago an ex-pastor actually, who a couple of years ago had had a breakdown. And he was a extraordinary visionary type person. Who was part of an international movement. The movement started from one church in New South Wales and had grown into a multinational, international ministry. And he was a part of that development. And he said it was huge and it was exciting. But he said it was all about what we did and not who we were. And it burned him out. And I asked him the question and I said, are you any different today to what you were 2 years ago? And he said, I'm barely recognizable. He had faced the crisis and allow God to use and transform that experience to become the person that God intended him to be. We need to use those storms in life creatively. They are the tools that God uses to transform our lives. As unpleasant as they are, as anxious as we may get, they are the tools that God uses to transform people. The second story that I want to look at this morning is the betrayal of a friend. And that's the story where Peter is questioned, does he belong to Jesus? Are they connected? Three times. So not just once. But are you connected? Is this guy your friend? Do you belong to him? And we see that each time he denies it. There's a couple of things here. It's just in this denial, in this betrayal by Peter of his friend. It's not just when he denies or how he denies Jesus. It's also when he denies Jesus. Because it's in the midst of a crisis for their group. It's in the midst of when they should have been sticking together. That Peter says, no, I don't belong, because it scared him of what the consequences and what the outcome could be. When Jesus is most wanting his friends to turn up, Peter, one of his most significant friends, is one who doesn't turn up and actually turns his back on him. And then on the other side of that, we have that truly dreadful moment when Peter realizes just what he's done. I think we've all had the experience, probably, of letting someone down. I know that I do it regularly in my marriage, where I forget to listen, when I forget to hear what my very best friend is trying to say to me. Thankfully, though, she's quite forgiving. But we do it, don't we? And often we do it in the most harsh way to the ones that are the most closest to us. Two examples of failure. But the third story I want to look at this morning is that of redemption. And the wonderful thing about the gospel is that it's not just about our shortcomings, but it's about what Jesus does with those shortcomings. We see that the gospel isn't about hiding our shame from the world, because actually our deepest shame, Jesus says, they're the very things that I use to show my greatness. Because we live in a world that can be unforgiving, unforgetful of any minor wrongdoing. We live in a world where, rather than accepting responsibility, we seek to justify our behaviours. We seek to, instead of facing our sinfulness, to finding a way to excuse ourselves of who we truly are, as we seek to find some sort of internal resolution of our past sins. But when we make that choice to deny the reality of who we are, the storm remains. The storm remains because the external storm is still happening. There's still stuff going on around us. There's still stuff going on around us that isn't right, that shouldn't be done the way it's done. But even more serious than that external storm about our circumstances is that internal storm that rages on inside of us. When we fail to accept what Jesus speaks to us and speaks into our lives. That storm never abates, does it? Because we see it in our world. With so many troubled people who are struggling with just who they are. We see the abundance of sleeping pills because people are facing sleepless nights. Because they go over and replay in their mind those things that they're told are their biggest failures. We see it in a world that's increasingly restless, where we jump from trinket to trinket to trinket in a desire to try and fix that deep inner yearning by having these temporary little things that make us happy for a second. We see it in a world where people live with constant insecurity. And uncertainty. Because for most of the world who don't accept what Jesus offers, they have to try and work out their own redemption and their own resolution, and we always come up short when we just look to ourselves. But Peter and all his failures, and I'm sure for all his sleepless nights after he betrayed his friend, for all his going back and going, gee, I failed when I tried to walk on that water, for all those things, is a great story of redemption, because as we come to Pentecost, we see that he doesn't just allow the past to define him, he's willing to take that next courageous step forward to become the person that Jesus always saw that he could become. Just reading his story, if you stopped at, you know, the walking on the water or the betrayal, you'd say, this guy's going to come to nothing. But you look at Pentecost and you see him preaching to the crowd there, and you see the people being saved, and you see the community that's formed after that, and you say something significant's happening because one failure of a person was willing to take some steps of faith, and God's going to use that step of faith. So for anyone who feels like a failure, who feels like they've let anyone down, there is hope. We see that Peter, the man who trembled at the question of a servant girl, before he denied Jesus, is now a person who's outstanding the religious leaders of his time, impressing the religious leaders of his time, because of his bold confidence. They weren't going to shut him up. They weren't going to stop him doing the work of the Spirit. Because he had seen the risen Christ. What are the stories that we like the most? What are the really big stories for us in our lives? Usually they're stories that have redemption in them at some point. You know, there's a down and out person who discovers their true potential and they become, you know, something bigger than what they ever could imagine. It's where, you know, in movies where the good guys win, where some hero overcomes some adversity to set things right in some way. Churches of Christ started under the name the Restoration Movement. And it was all about the idea of redeeming the church, bringing the church back to the New Testament understanding of what church should be all about, simplifying it and getting back to the core understandings of the gospel. It started with people who were passionate about what they believed the gospel was all about and the church. Our human story is all about stories of redemption, isn't it? I mean, one of the most popular ones in business in recent times has been the Steve Jobs story. You know, you love that. There's something that's lovely about that story, isn't it? Even though he's a very difficult man, but you know, the story of a man that was rejected by his business and then, you know, is brought back into it and becomes the savior. That's the stuff fairy stories are made of, isn't it? But it was true, and you know, he created an incredible business, didn't he? I mean, I don't use an iPhone, but, you know, he sold a good portion of the population, didn't he? They resonate with us. In a world that says we're not good enough, we want to know that in someone's eyes, we are good enough. In someone's eyes. That's the story we want to hear about our life, isn't it? You matter. You're important. You're more than just the sum of what you do. The problem is that because each of us are human beings, we let each other down. The message that I got from looking at Peter's life, and as I prepared for this sermon, was that we're not to let our past failures, our regrets, our betrayals, or whatever, get in the way of what God wants for us. Don't let that voice that says You're not good enough. Become the voice that defines us. Because the voice of God speaking to us is a very different voice. All of us have in our lives what David White, the poet, says, a golden thread. That path that God has weaved through our lives that defines us by our relationship to Jesus Christ. And that's a redemption story that the whole world belongs to, because it's not exclusionary. It doesn't exclude anyone. It calls every person in the world and says, this was for you. It started with Jesus, but it belongs to each one of us. And then it can allow redemption to become each one of our stories. And as we allow that story to become part of our story, we become witnesses to the powerful words and work of redemption in our life. There's a guy called Ivan Illich, and I love one of his quotes about story. We live in a world where very often science has replaced the power of stories, but for most of the world's existence, truth was actually told in a story. It wasn't scientific equations and so on. I'm not denying the truth of scientific equations, but we told our truth in stories. And I think that really is what fits the redemption story. We need to find a new story. And Ivan Illich has this beautiful quote where he says, to change something, to truly change something, we've got to start telling a different tale. And he says that different tale is one that sweeps up all the past and brings it together and brings it together into a new whole, so that a new story can begin to be told. And he says that new story is the one that sheds some light on the future. And I think that's what Jesus does for each of us, isn't it? He sweeps up all the past and he says, I have a new story for you, a new truth for you. This is every Christian's journey. I want you to think this morning. About your story. And consider where you're at. Are you feeling a bit battered by your circumstances? Are you feeling anxious inside or uncertain? Have you let someone down? Have you let yourself down? What's the story you're telling yourself about that? And then consider, what's the story that Jesus has for you? And how does that change the words and the language that you use? I would like for us to be able to go from this place knowing that there's a new story that we bear witness to, that begins with us and then becomes our witness to the world. It's an overcoming story, not through our own strength, but through the redemptive strength of Jesus Christ. And it is one that has the same end for each one of us, because it brings us to an eternity of celebration together. It's a story with a happy ending that's promised to us because we have seen the risen Christ.